Oh, it's like I planted that question. I wish I would have. No, that is the perfect question because absolutely.
Welcome to the Briones Pickleball Podcast. Welcome to another episode. Today, I have a very, very special guest, Dr. Christopher K. Bray.
Oh, like you paused when you said it like I'm important.
Yeah, well, I don't know. When it's doctor, man, you kind of got to listen up a little bit.
I've got some good advice. We'll share some good stuff that people want to listen.
Yeah, so in this podcast, Chris, thank you for being here.
You bet.
But we're going to talk about a lot of mental stuff, brain stuff. We're going to get into kind of a little bit of his background. This is going to be a really great podcast, everyone, so stay tuned for this. But so Dr. Bray is a cognitive behavioral researcher, speaker and author, and CEO, founder of Adaption Institute. And we'll talk about that later.
All right.
He's written several books now, and he's done a lot of stuff in, what would you say, brain and health space? Or how would you describe like what you do?
I would say that it's a lot of the brain spaces in performance, change,
really? Okay.
The right habits, the right behaviors, so that you can be at your best no matter what you're performing in.
Okay. All right. Cool. And so you still do that today, but yet you wear many hats. It's not like you have a 9-to-5 job, right? You kind of do.
No, yeah. So we're a global company, global organization. We have people all over the world. And what we do is we work mostly with Fortune 500 organizations who need to up their performance, or they're going through changes and they think, how can we thrive and be resilient and really perform through all of these changes? And then we come in and help them do that.
Okay. Well, it sounds awesome. And we'll get more into that. But along with the reason why he's speaking to us and he's here today, we've come to know each other. Mm-hmm. He's one of the first people that I've met here when we moved to Arizona. And let's see, Chris, we've taken a trip or two.
Yep, up to Pine Top.
To Pine
some great
Top,
pickleball.
Great pickleball. So he is a pickleball connoisseur. And it says here in your bio, ice cream connoisseur.
Yep, a little bit of both.
So I don't know what you like more, but what flavor are we talking about here? Just
okay.
All or?
I'm telling you, because ice cream, I mean, you've got to know ice cream, but if you are near a Julie's ice cream store, they have the best ice cream in the U.S.
Is that a nationwide? I've never heard of it. Yeah,
it's in some major cities. I think it's like in Chicago.
Okay,
there's one in Scottsdale, and
really?
I highly recommend it. So,
all right.
Best ice cream.
Awesome. Well, yeah. So Chris, huge in the brain/health space and what he kind of just told you about there. We're going to be talking a lot about that. And I do have a lot of questions about how it relates to pickleball. A lot of our viewers, or all of our viewers, right, either play pickleball, they're trying to improve, and, you know, they're trying to improve their game. So I think this is just a really interesting topic. It's good to have someone in the professional space there.
Yeah, we're going to improve their game.
Okay.
They're going to be able to go out the next day and see a difference in their pickleball game.
Okay, I like that. And all up here.
And all up here. So you're so good at skills and,
you know,
teaching, and we're going to teach them what should they be thinking about, and how should they practice, and how long should they practice, and what's going on in their brain, and why they make, you know, some pickleball, you make a mistake. Yeah. Oftentimes it'll be followed up with another mistake, or your partner makes a mistake and then you do. How do you fix those things and change it?
No, that's really awesome, man. And do you remember how we met?
We met at a workspace that I think we both used to go to. We don't anymore.
It's not Easy Spaces, right?
It's Easy Spaces.
Oh, Easy Spaces.
With Darby, who's
Darby.
Phenomenal.
Shout out to Darby.
Highly recommend going to that space. And you may not remember this, but when we met, it was you and your wife.
I think so.
And I kept on saying, I know you from somewhere.
Yeah.
You look so familiar. Mm-hmm. And you didn't give it up. Like, you weren't giving up why I knew you.
Did I not?
You did not give it up. You just sat there and smiled.
I was just smiling. Okay.
You were being humble. So then Darby said, I think it was Darby who said, oh, well, he's got a pickleball YouTube channel. And then it clicked.
Yeah.
And so hence.
So you've been watching it in a while. Huh?
I had been. I'm trying to improve. I'm always trying to improve.
Nice, man.
I don't know if it works, but we're trying.
Well, you'll help him out with the mental space, and we'll get you on the court after this. So
I'll take it.
Yeah. You live here in Arizona. Mm-hmm. And you're in Gilbert. Yeah, you have double the kids I have. That's pretty impressive. I mean, I have three, and people look at me like, wow, how do you do it? You know, so you have six.
Oh, yeah, we have a whole clan.
Yeah.
So four are out.
Yeah.
I have five daughters and one son. Son came last, so it was kind of a little benefit along the way. But
okay, cool.
Great bunch of kids. All of them, pickleball players. I had daughters who were all tennis players.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so the oldest four daughters really? All play pickleball. One of them just did a 5-0 tournament in St. George.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't know. You did tell me. I didn't know all of them play, though.
Yeah, they all play, and they're all great players and aggressive.
That's really cool.
So we get some good Bray really pickleball awesome, tournaments, man, as well as fights. I mean, they're great. If you're a neighbor of the Brays when we're playing pickleball at Christmas, you're gonna hear it.
Yeah, and like yourself, you have like myself, you have a court in your backyard.
Oh yeah,
right. You have two or one?
Just one. Okay. I wish I had room for two, but COVID brought the pickleball court, and luckily I did it when nobody was building pickleball courts, so I got it on the less expensive end, and then it took off over COVID. So it was a good buy.
Wow. Okay. So so Chris, like, I'm still learning a lot. Like, actually, if someone were to tell me, hey, your friend Chris, what does he do? I'm not 100% sure. So if you were to put it in maybe layman's pickleball terms, what do you specialize in? Like, what is actually your thing? I know you have like two PhDs and stuff like that, but like, what is your thing?
What's my thing? Well, my kids are the same way. They ask, what do you really do? The older ones think I work for the FBI because I travel and they really don't know what I do. So something secret. But what we do is the Adaption Institute. We're an organization that specializes in change and resilience and thriving and also performance. So how do we perform at our best, go through change, thrive through change, continue to grow and develop with most of the brain science coming into play there. So the neuroscience, cognitive psychology, and what is the latest research telling us about performance in all areas of our life? Because even sports performance has made major leaps and changes in the last couple of years.
Interesting. Yeah. So I have a lot of questions about that later. But so are you working with, you said, it says here like Fortune 5, do you work with companies or it's not athletes in particular, right? It's more companies or?
Yeah, most organizations. So mostly Fortune 500. So like Microsoft and Google and Wells Fargo and General Mills and organizations like that. And every once in a while we'll sneak in an individual to do that. But when you do an individual, it's a lot of time, not as quite as lucrative as the, the large organizations.
Yeah.
But individuals, because then you're working on what we consider the eight pillars of brain health, brain performance. And that includes, we'll talk all about this, but things like sleep and social and what you eat and what you're thinking and are you learning and all these things that keep your brain running at top performance.
Well, that's really good. I mean, I think all that can be really, really well related to pickleball.
Oh, all of it.
So without getting too deep, what are those? You said there's eight pillars. And is this something that you've came up with or is this kind of just known in the space?
Oh, I wish I would have come up with it. All right. But where the eight pillars came from is I teach at the Harvard Brain Health Initiative.
Okay.
And so what Harvard did along with several other institutions, research institutions, top thinkers, Nobel Prize winners, came up with these eight pillars of brain health. Now, not all of them apply to pickleball, but a majority of them do, like movement and eating and sleeping and the social aspect of your life that really apply to pickleball and help you be happy and fulfilled, but also perform at your very best. And included in that, we even drill down to things like how often should you be learning or training and how long should you train and what should that look like and what should your sleep look like and what should you be eating? And we'll cover all, we could talk for hours, but we'll cover a lot of that and give you all the information that you and your listeners need.
Yeah. Okay. Well, leave some comments below. If if you're interested in this or maybe you have some questions and we'll answer them later, but,
sure.
Chris, how did you, so you played tennis before pickleball?
Mm-hmm. Yep, right. I played high school tennis.
Oh, you played high school.
And that was about as great as I got.
Okay.
Maybe I could have gone to some little small school with like 300 students and played tennis there. But was, and then got all of my daughters into it. So really tennis for decades was in our life. Actually, I think I can say that I won a 4-0
tournament
mixed doubles in my 30s in Texas. So, I mean, I could say I got one.
Was that with your wife?
No.
Or no. Okay. All right.
I had to get a better player. Hopefully she's not going to listen to this. I'm just kidding. No. I'm kidding. Okay. No, I'm totally kidding. It was, at that time we had a lot of little babies. And so I just happened to, someone introduced us and we tried a tournament together and did a good job.
Right. And that's a USTA kind of thing. Yeah. I used to play some tournaments too. Yeah. So how did you, And we're going to get more into the brain science and all mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. But so how did you get into pickleball? Like what was your first time? What was that experience like?
Well, it's for me, it's a little bit of a disappointing story because why my brother started playing pickleball in Utah. I'm not kidding you, probably 8 or 9 years ago, might even been a decade ago.
Yeah.
And so we would go every time we were up there visiting, we would go out and play tennis. And he says, no, you got to try this new sport. But I didn't know, I'd never heard of it, never saw the paddles. Mm-hmm. And so he tried to teach us with his wife. Mm. And at that time I was a diehard tennis player, you know.
Now how many years was that ago?
I'd say this was at least a decade, probably 9 or 10 years ago. So before it in Utah, before it really hit.
Okay. So you were introduced to it pretty early.
Yeah, pretty early. But listen to this. Yeah. I didn't pick it up. I didn't, you know, because no one in Arizona really I knew was playing. No one really had courts. I think I knew one person who had a court. Whereas if I would have picked it up then, think of how good I would be now. So really picked it up at the very beginning of COVID is when I started playing. And
I didn't know it was that recent.
Yeah, it's just been the last two, three years that I've started, about a little over 2 years.
Wow. Okay.
So are you saying wow because you think I'm good for that time or better in 2 years?
No, you know what? I just thought of, I don't know. I guess when we went on that trip, that was a while ago and I don't know. It's been a blur, even for me, even for my story. So, no. A lot of people, we could call it, I don't know, maybe there's a term, we come the COVID pickleball players. Right. But I mean, probably millions.
Millions.
Millions during that time. We already know, like, lots of things were locked down and stuff like that. They were forcing people outside. But that was, as it, you know, got under control, pickleball was one of the things that just exploded.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're all sneaking on courts and climbing fences and doing what we could to play some pickleball and be outside. Yeah.
So you started during COVID or right before?
Probably just a little bit right before, maybe 5-6 times I'd played with some guys I knew, but really started saying, oh, this is really fun. I can play it 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times a week.
Yeah. No, that was awesome. And you're still playing tennis then or no?
No, because I'd stopped a little bit. Didn't really have, because you know, with tennis, you got to have people who are close to your same level. So it's always difficult to find individuals to play with.
Yeah.
And with a lot of kids and work and the business, it wasn't as much as I wanted. So when I picked up pickleball, it was so easy and so fun and so social.
Yeah.
You can actually talk to people while you're playing and they make fun of you and you make fun of them. It was all over.
No, that's cool. So where are you in your game right now? Are you playing tournaments and are you, like, what level are you?
Okay, so I'd say 4-0 to 4-5.
Okay.
Depends on the day. Almost, I would say 4-5. With your help, maybe we'll get there in the next couple months.
Is that a self rating or a Duva rating?
Well, I need to play more tournaments. Oh, okay. I'm 53, so finding a 53-year-old to play tournaments with, because I want to take it a little more seriously where we're practicing together. Uh-huh. Come to you. You can help us with the strategy. So I've done a couple tournaments. Did one with my wife. We took gold at the one in St. George last year.
What level was that?
I think we did 3-5 and she was phenomenal. Okay. Like she played out of her mind. Wow, so it was great, but more tournaments on the horizon.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, especially as the last two come out of high school, right?
That's right. We can travel on the weekends and do things like that. So so I'd say 4-5. So I'm on the lookout for a good 4-5 who wants to take it a little more seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So what do people usually ask you when you tell them about kind of like what you do, you know, cause I know you, or let me just ask you this, out of all the things that you do, what is like one of the most important things that you think that you do, like you make an impact on? Cause I know you do a lot of different things.
I would say probably three areas. One, people say, how can I, with my brain, how can I be more happy or fulfilled?
Yeah.
And on the opposite end of that is less stressed, less anxious, maybe less depressed. What things can we do? Because we are a research-based organization. So we're reading and talking to all these top neuroscientists, cognitive behavioral researchers of what's coming out. And so they're always saying, what's new? And I'm often a guinea pig for a lot of things like wearables and things like that. We'll get those early and try those, you know, blood sugar, you know, like all sorts of different things.
Yeah.
So I would say health and longevity that relate to your performance as an individual, more than just your physical, but also, you know, your brain health. So fulfillment, happiness in life, performance, especially when it comes to brain performance. But then also recently, a lot of people are asking a lot of questions about longevity. especially in pickleball, as the demographic continues to change, but all ages play, but a lot of individuals will come and say, hey, I heard that you know a lot about longevity. What role does pickleball play in it? And how can I age in a way cognitively, my brain's working well, I can perform, I can play pickleball, and I'm healthy and I'm happy. So get a lot of those questions.
Well, obviously, you know this, but you know, as a coach myself, I do it full time. I, you know, most of the players, just on statistics, they, you know, they're 50 to 60 to 70. So I have a lot of older clients. I do have a lot of younger ones too, but, I just think that first of all, it's just really cool that they can do something that they, that is just so fun to them. But again, what's the interesting thing about this sport too, I think it's a little bit different than others, is like a lot of these people, they may have some backgrounds with tennis or racquetball or something, but I would say 50% or maybe even more haven't really played any sport. Right. And they could come in and do this kind of thing. Like what are your thoughts about that?
Oh, it is a sport that you can pick up and play anywhere, anytime. You don't have a lot of equipment, but like you said, it's something, even if you're not athletic, you can still play. Now, the bonus of that is, and what a lot of research is saying, especially when it comes to pickleball or sports that are similar, is it's the social aspect. So a lot of these, we'll say more mature individuals, especially through COVID, are lonely. We know that loneliness is considered the new cigarette smoking. You know, loneliness really is like you're smoking 10 cigarettes a day. It's terrible for people. And this is a way that people can get out and think about it. There's really no other sport that's like it, because you go and you put your paddles up and you're playing with people you have no idea who they are, never met before, and you're introducing yourself, you're laughing, you're talking. So it is really during a pandemic that just was a wave of depression and loneliness and a lot of anxiety. All of a sudden, as we start coming out, people are having friends who've never had friends before. And one of them is me. I mean, I've worked so much, I'm studying, I'm traveling. And it was funny, after COVID, all my kids were like, especially with the pickleball court, like, Dad, you had like 6 friends over a day. Like, you have friends.
Wow.
I know. That's what I said. Wow. It's true.
Would you say that during your working career, I know you've worked really hard and stuff, did you not have a lot of like those kind of activities and stuff even before then?
Oh, rarely. I was like, if it was, it was through tennis, but it was mostly singles. So you'd go, but you know, you never talked.
It's not the same.
It's not the same.
Yeah.
I was a gym guy. I was a triathlon runner, biker. So not.
Yeah. None of those. You're really forming any real
isolated
relationships.
Yeah. And I mean, I had good friends, and I talked to high school friends, college friends, and even friends in the neighborhood. But where you are texting each other a couple times a week, who's going, who's not, it really, for a lot of people, is absolutely life-changing. So a lot of people will say, in fact, I was in Wickenburg at the Troon, you know, kind of senior living, I shouldn't call it 55 plus living. Some friends were in town, so we went out to dinner. And we went and sat by the pickleball courts out in Wickenburg. And
where is that, Arizona?
Yeah, it's Arizona. It's about an hour and a half.
Okay.
Just near, a little bit near Flagstaff. And what was amazing about it is people would come up just by themselves and they would join in and join playing.
Yeah.
And it was so fun to watch. And it, so not only are you getting the physical exercise, and like you said, you know, people can play at any skill level, but all of a sudden they have friends. And so the feeling of, even if I'm maybe not very good at this, there are other people who aren't good, but we're friends and I'm meeting people. And then you find people who are similar to you. Much easier that way.
Yeah. No, that's really cool. That's obviously why we love this sport. I read many stories, and I have a thing too where I'm trying to actually accumulate these stories so I could read them, like how they've changed.
And write a book.
Yeah, maybe.
There you go.
They've changed a lot of lives. But what does it do on the, I guess like the brain chemical side, with just like you said, you know, there's a lot of people coming out of depression or isolation and things like that. When you do find, like, it could be pickleball, it could be not, but when you find social things, how does that actually work? Like what does that do to the brain? You said something to the, along the lines of like being isolated is like smoking, like,
oh yeah, it's terrible,
10 packs a day, or you said something like that. So walk me through that. Like, people can listen to that, like, oh, I mean, what does that mean? Or, and, you know, but what is, like, why don't you kind of expand on that?
Well, as humans, we are social animals. We really are. We like to run in packs. We like to have friends. We depend on each other for a lot of different things. Yeah. But unfortunately, our world, and in fact, let me give you an example. About 60 years ago, there was a research study done asking people, if you had to call someone in the middle of the night and something was going wrong,
okay,
how many people could you call? And the response was about five. So they did the same research study again about 2 years ago and said, if you know you had an emergency in the middle of the night and you knew you could call someone, the answer was less than one. Now you're saying, how's it less than one? Yeah. Because some people had zero people. Now,
wow.
And the sad thing is when you think about loneliness and not, you know, and social and why it applies to pickleball is that we often don't know. People may come out. You may even be in a group and, you know, even though you're around people, you still feel somewhat isolated. But why it works so well with pickleball is because social-wise, when you're out there with other people and you're playing or you're waiting, you have your paddles up and you're talking, what's being released are things like serotonin. Now, oftentimes serotonin, the chemical in the brain, is known as kind of like the love hug drug.
Okay.
But it's also the social drug of connection.
Okay.
So when I have serotonin running through, then all of a sudden I feel a connection to you that, oh, we might be friends. I start to confide in you and tell you about my family or things that I enjoy or what the latest movie is.
Yeah.
And so it releases the chemicals. Now, it also releases another chemical called dopamine, and that's the pickleball aspect of it. So you're doing, you're learning a new skill. You want to win. You're playing aggressive. So when you're learning, dopamine's released, and dopamine's this motivation. It's the get up and move type of chemical for your brain, what we consider good chemicals.
Yeah.
And so you're getting both when you're playing pickleball. And so for a lot of people who are very lonely, it's solving a problem that's really what the World Health Organization is considering an epidemic of loneliness. And so pickleball's combating it big time. And that's, I think when people say, why is it growing so much? I don't get it. I tell them, oh, I've got the answer. And one of them is because it's helping people feel like they belong, they have a community, no matter what skill level you are.
No, that's super awesome. And I've heard this before, but you know, just listening to some, reading certain things, kind of like, I don't know, so like CrossFit for some reason has some sort of, as in some correlation with pickleball, as in like when you meet somebody random, right? Like, you know, like you can be in the grocery store and you find out they play pickleball. There's like instant connection.
Right. Right.
Like even like I'm a coach or whatever, but like, even if like you're I'm sure when you meet somebody, it's like, oh, like, where do you play? Or
right.
You know, it's just like, there's not many subjects to like, you know, it could be like a random subject. Like, oh, I have a dog. Oh, great. Like, you have a dog, you know, but there's not many subjects where it's just like instant, I don't know.
Connection.
You know what I mean?
And so, think about this too. Think about, lots of times people will go, and let's say you even go with another person, you go to Gilbert Regional Park or you're playing somewhere, that you will just go up and put your paddle in with people you have no idea who they are and start playing with them, even if you maybe come with another individual and you start talking to them. It's like going to a restaurant and going up to someone and saying, I'm going to join you and sit and eat dinner with you. It would be crazy.
But
pickleball, and think about it.
Yeah.
Can you think of another sport that's really like that, that you have that quick connection, that it's just this open of, hey, come and be involved with me and let's do something. And so it's just, it's such a benefit of pickleball.
Yeah. Yeah. Really, really good. Let's see here. I do have a couple questions here. And this might just be bouncing around.
Sure. Okay. I'm all about
it. And we'll navigate through, but, so a lot of the listeners here, and we'll talk more about the brain and how that, you know, how you can help the viewers get better, but just certain specific like aspects here. So like I get questions all the time about reaction time.
Okay.
So like, how can pickleball, this is a question we've gotten from a viewer, or just a general question. How can pickleball players improve their reaction time on the court, and how does that relate to the brain? Or how can it relate to the brain? So obviously a lot of the people I work with, and I do have some processes or whatever you call it, but on how you can, certain drills and things that you can improve. But I'm sure that, you know, in your expertise, I know that you have like, and as you get older in age, your reaction time does slow down. Is there anything people can do out there to improve it or keep it or anything?
Oh, absolutely. So let's kind of go and we can talk about some different things. And there's some new research on this. Now, why pickleball? One of the reasons why pickleball is so good for the brain is because it is a slow game and a fast game, and it changes rapidly, which the brain loves.
Really?
So, you know, you're dinking, you're going slow, and all of a sudden it speeds up and it's, you know, triple the speed. And so what happens in the brain is, remember that anytime you're doing anything new or you're playing any activity is the neural networks in the brain are flowing. So they're like rivers that the more you've done something, the deeper the groove is of the water to go down. So same as with the brain, the more you do an activity, the easier it is for the body movement, for your brain to know what to do. So the first thing to say is always, if you practice it all the time and use some of these processes, which, you know, you've shared in other videos and things, that that is one way to absolutely increase your reaction time. Now, there are other things that are new coming out. In fact, just in February, there's a new research coming out. Wow. Ready for this? I should get some payback for this.
Okay.
One of the best things that you can do for your, I'll give you two things you can do for your action time. Number one, eat a handful of blueberries every morning and every night. And what they found is, you know, there's heart health, there's brain health, helps with inflammation, all these things.
Yeah.
But there's something that blueberries have, the flavonoids in them, that increases your reaction time. So,
and this is backed up by studies?
This is backed up by hard research and data that it improves your reaction time. So I'm telling people, now, are you going to eat a handful of blueberries and then go to...
And be like Ben Johnson.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. But for your speed that you're used to, now here's what you do.
Okay.
If you practice, now, can we talk about practice for a minute and we can even add more on?
Yeah.
So the problem sometimes, well, first problem, you know, with pickleball is everybody just wants to play and no one wants to
drill,
to drill, which we all get that.
Yeah.
But if you, like, if you drill 15 minutes a day, it's going to just quadruple your performance rather than saying, I'm going to drill 1 hour or 2 hours a week. When we talk about those neural networks and pathways in the brain, they are created faster when you do smaller amounts of practice every day that can are continuous versus one big day of lots of practice.
Really?
Because what happens is, so you're doing the activity, the neural networks. Now the change doesn't occur when you're doing it. What happens is you're doing the activity, your brain's registering what's happened, the muscle memory. And then when you go to sleep at night, which is the number three thing you should do, when you go to sleep that night, the brain then works out. It's the best house cleaner in the world. The brain clears out all the overwhelm, all the stuff that you don't need, keeps what was important, and then puts that in the long-term memory part of the brain, builds those neural networks. And so if you're doing something every day, that neural network and the synapses and the firing are built that evening, and then all of a sudden you become faster and faster. So I always tell people, practice less time every day, but do it every day. Even if you go out for 10 minutes and you have one shot you want to make, do it 10 minutes every day, you're going to see just improvement substantially faster than if you do a longer time period.
That's really interesting. And maybe that's, I don't know, does that kind of coincide with like habits, like creating better habits?
Absolutely.
Okay, so this is what I get all the time. A lot of players, they, and it's just crazy. Like, especially I run these 2-day intensives, right? People fly in, they train with me 2 days. It's a really good time. They learn a lot. And, one of the things I ask them, like, oh, how can I get better? Well, obviously over the 2 days that we spend time with each other, we're going over footwork, we're going over technique, all these things that, and I write them action plan and things like, this is the things that you
have. And it's brilliant you do that.
Yeah. Thanks. These are the things that you have to do. You're going to have to take with you, because my job, not essentially, is done, but like I'm setting you a path. Like if you follow these exact things, then there's no way you're not going to improve. So a lot of them, like, they're gung ho about pickleball, right? Especially the ones that come and see me. So I ask them how many days they're playing a week. So usually it's like 3 to 7,
right?
It's like a ridiculous amount. So one of the things, because you're right on, obviously, about the drilling versus playing. It's a lot more fun to play, but you nearly don't get any practice, especially if you're working on particular shots. So what I usually tell them is like, look, if you're playing like 6 days a week, just take one or two of those days to drill, and then just go ahead, have a ball the other days. So that's what I usually tell them, just so it's just like easier. But what you're saying though, is you think that, or maybe it might be a more of a benefit if they just take like 15 to 20 minutes, if they play 6 times a week.
Yep.
Just do 15 or 20 minutes before or after they play.
Absolutely. And okay. I would do it before. Now here's why you want to do it before. And I should say this, one shot, like dinking backhand for 15, 20 minutes. Because what happens is oftentimes is we practice one thing and then we practice the other thing. But if you're just doing that short amount of time, your brain is so focused, there's full attention on learning that skill, what you're doing right, what you're doing wrong. Because think about it, when you're doing one thing and working with them, they get better instantly.
Yeah.
Because they're so focused. Yeah. So if they just focus that and maybe say for that one shot, it's a shot I want to get better. This week, I'm going to practice it 3 times and I'm going to practice one other shot 2 times. Drill 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
They will see substantial changes. And the best thing that you do, one of the best things is the action plan, because the action plan reminds them to stick to what they should do. Because in all the research of performance research, and when we say performance research, we're talking sports, music, chess players, people who memorize numbers, Rubik's Cubes, all these people have been studied.
Yeah.
And they found that the attention and focus should be on one thing at a time, because then the brain gets overwhelmed. Yeah. We can't remember that much. And all of a sudden we're thinking of my footwork and then where my paddle should be and how hard I'm hitting it and the direction, instead of I'm just focusing on this one thing.
What do you think about this? Players ask me all the time, obviously. So I train them. We have a great 2 days. We go through, basically break down all their aspects of the game. And they are a lot overwhelmed with the information.
Oh, for sure.
And one of the things that I saw the gap, why I think what I offer is way different than anyone else, is the action plan, the follow-up emails, and I do strategy breakdown analysis. So I do multiple things after the fact. And what I tell them, and maybe you can have a good or better suggestion here, but they're working on all these things. Let's say their footwork, right? Then we're talking about, okay, your backswing, right? So there's several things, even in one stroke, that they're trying to think about, right? And this is why I tell them to isolate in a drill, because in the game, it's like there's a lot going on. But even in the drills, I just usually tell them to focus on like one or two things max, because you can't focus on like 5 different things. Okay, backswing, wrists, like all this. Like, what would you... You know, if you're working with somebody, I mean, would that be spot on? Like, and there's several things in a stroke, like, what would you say? Like, just work on one thing at a time? Or?
Well, you're spot on, because, you know, people can only, I mean, we have best case scenarios, because people are coming in for 2 days. Now, there are a lot of benefits to that, because the social aspect of people they're meeting, they get to be good friends with people. Mm-hmm. They're also playing a whole bunch of different players versus people that they're playing over and over with again, you know, in their hometown.
Yeah.
But what I like about what you do is you'll, for like 45 minutes to an hour, work on one shot.
Yeah.
Everybody's working on that one shot. So the brain starts to learn it. And then, you know, you can create an action plan around that, because it's their responsibility to then go home and say, I remember what I told I need to do, what it looks like when it's right, because that's remembered. And now they just need to practice it, because no one's going to get great. What you're providing is the tools to get great. And if you break it up like that, and I also love, because you do some other things. Yeah. You know, that like rest their brain, give them a chance to get a break, socialize, and also just digest the information of what does this mean to my, because I'll tell you, after 2 days, you know, they leave much better than they ever came.
Yeah.
And so the benefits there, it's just now a matter of, hey, if you do that for 3 months in a row and come back after 3 months, we're going to see you jump up from a 3.0 to 3.5, 3.5 to 4.0, 4.0 to 4.5.
Okay. Yeah. No, it's really cool. Yeah. I wanted to get your
opinion
on that. Okay, cool. Here's another question that we usually get, and I've done several videos on this, but I know, as soon as you agreed to come, thank you, Chris.
You're welcome.
But the serving yips.
Yes.
You know what that is, right?
Oh, okay. I think everybody knows what it
is. Okay. So I just wasn't sure.
Yeah.
But it's definitely, you know, what I've heard, and I agree, but maybe you can dive in down into this, but obviously it's more mental than it is anything else, technique or anything. So I've worked with several people. Obviously technique is really important, and being able to repeatedly do the same motion is really important. But what is that block? Like, what can you say? And maybe I know that they have this in golf, but maybe this is a thing in other, just in the mental brain space, like that kind of thing where someone can make the shot, but for whatever reason, it just goes out the window. It sprays. Now they have to go to a backhand serve. You know what I mean?
No.
You've heard it many times. So, people with the yips, what can they do? What is it, chemically in the brain, and what? How can we like slowly work through that?
Oh, I think this question is brilliant, because it happens in everything. It happens in every sport. It happens in the work that we do.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens in our relationships with family. We have all these little events that begin to happen. And what it is I would say it's 90% because people know how to do the shot. And we're sitting there saying to ourselves, this is not a hard shot. But what happens is we use different parts of the brain. So for example, your prefrontal cortex, which if you were to take your hand and put it over your forehead, it's just like just 3 millimeters, like the size of a card. And what it does is it's your working memory. So your analytical function, your thinking function, your decision-making part of your brain.
Got it.
And when we have what's considered the chatter in our brain, and here's what the chatter sounds like. The chatter may be, this is the third serve you've missed. Mm. Oh my gosh. Now, why is there a spin on my serve? And there wasn't a spin before when I practiced at home 20, 30 times. And so we have all this chatter. The chatter could be, now my partner's mad at me because I'm missing the serves and we were ahead 3 points. Oh, now I'm embarrassing myself because I'm playing with 4-0 players and I'm a 3-5 player and I wanted to play with them more, but now I can't. So there's all this chatter that's going on in the brain. So the secret, and I'm given the easy answer, one of the easiest, is to stop the overwhelm, stop the chatter in the brain and move more into flow. And the flow is where we're silencing our brain or quieting our brain and having other thoughts that replace it.
Okay, so what? So all those, the chatter you talked about, every single one that I heard you say was negative.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So.
Oh, wait, can we stop there for a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me say something that people have every day in their life. Oh, I'm not, and I've heard this, I can't even tell you how many hundreds of times working with executives. We're talking executives who are very successful.
Yes.
Dr. Bray, I'm not smart enough. I didn't go to the right school, so I can't get this promotion. I'm overweight. Why would anybody date me? Because I'm overweight. I don't have the right friendship group. I don't make enough money. I don't live in the right neighborhood. I mean, we all have, and if you think about it, you could probably write off, we won't make you say it out loud, have your, what you're saying in your brain, that chatter that comes throughout our whole life. And oftentimes when we pick up new things and are learning new things, new chatter begins. Now, there's a reason the chatter is so effective. There's really two reasons. Number one, you have about 65,000 thoughts per day. And out of those thoughts, 70% of those thoughts are the exact same that they were yesterday and the day before and the day before.
70%. So 30% is new.
Right. And the other is just the old habits and the old thinking of, I'm not good enough. I'm overweight. I'm not in shape. I'm not rich enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't have a great personality. I'm not, you know, handsome or attractive enough.
Yeah.
And it builds. So what it's, remember we talked about the neural networks?
Yes.
All of a sudden the neural networks for those negative thinking that you thought for 20 years, 30 years, you're not even 30 yet, just, but you know, that the grooves are so deep in those neural networks that they immediately come to the front part of the brain. They immediately are there and they come before things like, I'm so good at this. Like my serve's getting better and better. And that's the difference. We'll talk about growth mindset and fixed mindset.
Okay.
But it is the chatter that, and it gets, I mean, I study this all the time. It still gets at me. Yeah. The chatter will still start, especially if—
Well, you know, no one is—
No one is immune.
Yeah, no one is immune.
No one is immune at all.
So what are the techniques? So let's say for the service yips, right? I mean, they know they can make it. The chatter starts. What are some techniques?
Okay.
Do you just replace it with positive things? Do you try not to think about anything? I think that's kind of what I go to. Just, I tell players just to kind of, you know, just like they're thinking like about everything. Like they're, oh, here. No, just hit the ball. So, but I don't know. What would you say about trying to get to a point where you're minimizing the chatter or get that out?
Well, one of the first things you can do, and I'm going to kind of steal this from you,
okay,
is you get out and you practice it. So that you can see, and oftentimes you can tell yourself, and there is a big difference between verbal and just thinking in your brain, oh, I can do this shot. Like I'll go out and serve 100 serves and maybe I miss 3. I thought, oh, 97% of my serves were in. This is a shot I know how to do. So then when you're playing.
So this is what happens.
So you build that foundation.
But then they go there and then it all breaks down. I hear this, right? Yeah. And I see it often. So what do we do then?
Yeah, so you have the nerves, you have the brain chatter. And so let me give you just a couple things you can do in the moment. One of the best things you can do is you stop and you take a couple deep breaths.
Yeah.
Now, we've heard about breath work a lot, but I'm telling you, if you want to change your brain in less than a minute, take deep breaths, even 30 seconds to a minute. It changes the function. It changes the electricity in your brain immediately. It's one of the fastest things that we can do to change the way our brain is working from I'm nervous, this is going bad, I'm embarrassed, to all of a sudden calming down, saying and telling yourself, really? Yesterday I did 97 serves on right. I can do this. Even if I miss one, it's okay. And silencing the chatter so you can focus, pay attention on that one thing. It's like the practice, that neural network that says I can do this. And what happens is if people talk themselves through it, and it might take a serve or two, then once they get one, it just, the momentum begins and they don't miss anymore. So it's a practice. The problem is people buy into the chatter. They buy into the talk. Yeah. Then it changes their brain, changes the chemicals that are released in their brain. Then they get nervous, epinephrine, adrenaline goes through their body. Their heart's racing, they're sweating, and it's, you've seen it. It's over. And you see it in the pros.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen meltdowns amongst the pros, so no one is immune.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of who can move that pendulum over to, this is going to help me perform at my best versus I'm giving into the chatter and the thoughts and the overwhelm of my brain.
Yeah. So the likes of the Ben Johns, Anna Lee Waters, the players who are on the top that are very, very consistent, they, and again, we hear this all the time, but even in all sports, right? Like I would say in pickleball, but we could talk about any sport. They, you know, the top, let's say 10 or to 15 or so players, they have around the same talent. Right, they're all very, very talented,
right.
But it's that edge, it's that mental game,
absolutely,
that just at the end of the day, is what it squeaks out the wins.
Oh, for sure. Anders Ericsson, who's a performance researcher, he died about 2 years ago out of Florida State University.
Yeah,
he wrote the book Peak Performance, and he is one of the like formidable researchers on, 30 years of peak performance. In fact, Malcolm Gladwell stole some of his research, the 10,000 hour rule. You can become an expert in 10,000 hours, switched a little bit. But what Anders found, and it didn't matter whether it was sports or music or chess or whatever it was, that the difference between that top 10% is literally mental. They can calm themselves down. They can fix the nerves. Everybody feels it. But they can control it better. The thoughts are different. They've created new neural pathways and the thoughts are different. And when things aren't going well, they can adjust. I mean, Nadal is one of the best examples of someone who can be down two sets, come back and still win based upon that mental acuity and its focus, attention, and really, you know, I wish I could do. I'm really working on it to be able to do things like that.
Wow. Yeah. And I guess here's another question. It's kind of like the same thing, but you just tell me if it's almost the same thing, like the yips. But when, you know, a lot of these players, they're playing, they could get down on themselves, especially like when you're playing tournaments.
Right.
And there's a different feeling when you're like way up and way down and maybe tied.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's really close. There's a lot of emotions going, a lot of different things. But let's say you're not playing your best, or you've missed a couple in a row. Same kind of procedures there, like deep breaths and trying, like what do you do to try to turn that around? Because, you know, when you miss several shots in a row, you start to, I guess, as the chatter comes back.
Oh yeah.
So
full
like,
force, tidal wave.
Yeah.
Of chatter. And with pickleball, remember, it's not just the chatter about yourself. It's the chatter if you're playing doubles, mixed, or men, women's that oh my goodness, they're mad at me. I've missed these shots. It's my fault that we're now down. So it is very similar, but the techniques are the same of take some deep breaths in between points, literally some deep breaths for 30 seconds. It resets the brain. What it allows is all those chemicals, the negative chemicals like cortisol that's releasing the epinephrine, adrenaline that's speeding up your heart rate, your blood pressure, your sweating. It really stops that, moves through so we can move to some of the better chemicals around performance, top performance, and just saying things like, okay, I'm going to fix the game. Now, remember, we all have bad days.
Yeah.
There are days we're on, there are days we're off, but you can still increase and stop that sliding. And you've noticed people who can't do it, they just get worse and worse and worse and worse. Versus you see some people and then all of a sudden they change it. And a lot of what we say to ourselves, now a lot of people have made fun of positive psychology and I look in the mirror and say positive things. But if you say things like, I'm so grateful I'm out here, I'm at a tournament, I'm with friends. Who in the world is out playing in this beautiful weather tournament? I'm here with friends, we're gonna go out tonight and eat dinner. Yeah. And you see the benefits. It changes the chemicals, which changes the way you think, which changes your behavior and your actions. It's like a waterfall that happens.
Got it.
And so we have to change what we're thinking about, and you have to replace it because your brain's going to think of things. You just have to replace what it's thinking.
Okay. So two things. The breathing. Does that, is it because of the oxygen? Is that the main thing?
Well, there's a whole bunch of reasons. Okay. Like it could be your nose, could be through your mouth. I'm always telling people, do you want to do the deep breath in through the nose, out through the mouth for those who are yoga, you know, who do a lot of breath work. So it is a lot of the oxygen, but it's also allowing the brain to take what we call a pause. And so the oxygen's going in. It's great for the brain. It's great for the body. It's calming the mind. And it changes the electricity.
You're not really thinking about anything when you're taking right. deep breaths. Is that
you're focused all on that.
Got it.
You're that's focused it on it. And that's why a lot of times people, you'll see people like, even some of the pros, they're tapping their foot before they serve. They have, you know, a little ritual that they do because it's calming and focusing the brain is it's what it's doing.
And then you did mention, I forgot what you called it, the positive affirmation, like look in the mirror, that kind
positive
of
psychology.
Psychology. Yeah. Is there a difference between, I mean, do they correlate or is there a difference between that and doing what you're saying?
Well,
or can it go overboard if you're like always positive, like, you know what I mean?
It's a catch 22. Now, positive psychology, most of it comes out of the University of Pennsylvania with Dr. Martin Seligman, who's a brilliant man.
Yeah.
And at first we laughed at a lot of these things, like I can do this. Now there's something we call self-efficacy, and self-efficacy is the belief that you can do something. And whenever you start something new, and you probably see this every day, and you can teach this to your people who are taking lessons from you, is that there's a moment when all of a sudden they believe they can do something.
Yeah.
And it is, for a human being, it's an amazing moment because your brain switches and clicks into, oh, I don't think I can do this, to, wait a second. I can do that shot. I can play this game. I can move up to a 3-5. I can win a tournament. Yeah. And the potential for individuals is unlocked, not just in the brain, but right down to the DNA, that this potential is unlocked and people realize I can do this. And it just lights up the brain. And it's one of the best feelings that a human has, is I can do this. Like, this is something that I thought I could never do, and I could do it. That's why people run marathons, do Ironmans, hike the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
Get in pickleball tournaments because they want to test their potential.
No, that's really, I never thought about it that way, about all the Ironmans. Yeah, those guys are like really, really crazy, but I guess it just gives them a sense of, I mean, that accomplishment or that. You've heard of David Goggins,
sure. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, he's done some, I mean, I've listened to a lot of his stuff, but when he talks about that kind of stuff, it's just.
Oh, it's amazing.
It's really crazy.
Right, and people think I could never do it, but then they think, I could never play pickleball and go be in a tournament. I would fall flat on my face. So everybody's doing different things that we're accomplishing.
Yeah. No, that's really good. On the fact of like, just again, we deal with older players and things like that. I teach a lot of them, and just a lot of the listeners are, you know, they're retired and they're playing. They really love this game. This question here, can playing pickleball help prevent or delay cognitive decline? And if so, how?
Oh, it's like I planted that question. I wish I would have. No, that is the perfect question because absolutely it can decrease cognitive decline, but yet it increases so many other things. Now, the benefits, like I said before, is number one, movement, one of the pillars of brain health. They're moving in a way they probably never moved before.
So just movement in general.
Just like, movement. And we're learning.
Yeah.
That you don't need to go to the gym for an hour and go all out. If you go out and walk for 20 minutes, there are very similar benefits, and some of them not even that much different. In fact, they found people who will go out and walk half an hour a day, 20 minutes, half an hour a day, are more healthier, lose more weight than people who join the gym in January, go really hard.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't work. But another reason that it helps with decreasing cognitive incline, and here, and let's flip that for a second, because that also means you're going to increase your cognitive ability, so you can learn faster, you can remember more than you did before. Your brain also is faster at thinking, making critical decisions, your reaction time. So there are all these benefits from pickleball. So movement is one. The social is number two. And I might even say, depending on the person, social could be number one, but social because you know, we're out talking, we're meeting people, things like that. And the third is you're learning something.
Yeah.
Now that right there is so important, especially as we age.
Really?
And we get in our 50s or 60s, we have to continue learning. Now,
it could be anything though.
Anything.
Just learning in general.
Anything. Now there are two things that do more than anything else. So if you learn a language, that's one of the best things you can do to increase your cognitive ability, keep your cognitive ability.
Why is that?
I just think it's...
There's studies on that then,
I guess. It encompasses so much of your brain and different aspects of your brain.
Got it.
Second one, you want to make a guess? Music. So like playing the piano, you know, just guitar.
Yeah.
And the third would be something around sports that you're doing consecutively and continuously. Because think about it, you're always... You could learn at pickleball. There's so many shots you can improve. Mm-hmm. So when you're learning something, dopamine's released, which is that great chemical.
Yeah.
You're learning something which makes you feel good. You're creating meaning and fulfillment in your life because you go out and play. And afterwards, you know, even sometimes afterwards, even if you didn't play great, you're still like, I had a good day.
Yeah.
It's nice outside. We had a good time.
Yeah.
And I feel better than if I used to stay home and get up
and
just sit there and read the newspaper.
No. Yeah. It's really good, man. Now, I don't know. I guess the segue, you have your own podcast, actually.
I do.
Chris, so
not as good as yours. It's not as good as yours.
Way more listeners, though.
That's because I have like 400 podcasts. That's why there's so many of them.
Okay, but what do you talk about on yours? It says here that the doctor. Do you go by Dr. CK, Bray?
Okay, so
what is that?
That is a name that caught on. So I always go by Chris. And
really?
So what happened is when I finished my second PhD, my family, to make fun of me, would call me Dr. CK. Well, at that time, I had all these teenagers in the house. And so it caught on that all of a sudden, all these kids and all my kids' friends, hey, Dr. CK, hey, Dr. CK. And then
that's funny.
It just caught on. And it was hilarious because it just spread because it kind of has a little bit of a ring to it.
Okay. Where does the K come from, though?
Oh, Christopher Kent. So middle name.
Oh, got it.
Christopher Kent, so CK.
So it says your show is 20-minute science and research-based podcast that aims to provide the information you need to create a better life and career. So you talk about these kinds of things.
Yes.
And you share, I'm sure, all the new and upcoming studies and things like that. One of the questions that I had here, and maybe you have the answer right away, but maybe you could think about it.
Okay.
I just, you know,
trying to stump me. Is that what
you're saying? No, because I just really want to know this. I think this is interesting. In the last decade or so, because there's a lot of things that change, but in the last decade, what is one or maybe two of the most interesting studies or findings that have to do with brain or health? Like, I mean, like really, like, you know, like something really big comes out and there's something else I want to get to and ask your opinion about, but what are like one or two studies just really that transformed or changed the game on like brain science, health or anything?
Okay. I'll give two. Okay. I'll give one that made a ripple effect throughout all of, we say, research,
really,
you know, and the world, kind of focusing on two different areas, and that would be around telomeres.
What is that? I don't know what that is.
Here's what I'm going to have people look up the word telomere, but I'll tell you a little bit about it. So telomeres, they're at the end of your chromosomes, and what they do is they're like little aglets, like, you know, on your shoes, your shoelaces at the very end, they have that little hard part.
Yeah.
Well, what two women researchers found brilliant, and there's a book that people can look around the telomeres, that the shorter your telomere is, the quicker you are going to age in cognitive ways, physically. Mentally. It just ages you faster. Whereas telomeres, if they're kept longer through like what we talked about, the 8 pillars of brain health and things like that, that you live longer, you're happier, you age better, you're more healthy as you age. Mm-hmm. And so that really sent a lot of ripple effects around longevity. Now, longevity is becoming key because we're learning so much about how do we age, but not just age physically in a great way. And there's, you know, I'll give you a couple books you can put on the podcast of some great things, especially if people are 50 plus, that they should be doing every day, like stretching, eating certain things, good, healthy foods. But it's the longevity of we can age so much better than we used to based upon all the information that we have. So that would, I'd say, a big ripple effect. Now, one of my favorite.
So hold on real quick. Sure. What are they called? The
telomeres.
So telomeres. So can you do those? You can grow them and shrink them?
You shrink them by stress, anxiety, smoking, bad health, no exercise, no sleep, bad relationships, isolation. But that's only a start. That's just a few.
Yeah.
So everything.
Interesting.
Which. It's hilarious because, you know, whenever I talk to individuals, we talk about sleep, oh, no one's getting 7-8 hours. Very few people are. You know, especially if you're a parent of young children, you get that.
Yeah.
But isolation, no friends, stress at work, depression, anxiety, you know, we're seeing that spike. And so that's a lot of the reason. Now, there are tests that you can take, and I'd give it about another 8 months to a year, that's going to be very inexpensive, maybe $100,
okay,
that you can test your telomeres.
Really?
And see kind of what your actual age is.
Now, do they measure it by nanometers?
No, I wish they did. No, they
you know what I mean?
Like, no, I wish they did that. It's through a blood test. They're able to tell
just
how healthy your telomeres are.
Really? Interesting.
So, and it's Elizabeth Bradburn is one of the authors. Oh, I mean, they won a Nobel Prize for this. That's how big it was to the world. I mean, it was huge. Wow. And we're just getting research around longevity now that is changing the face, or really changing how, what we believe about aging and getting older and inflammation and sugar and, you know, our insulin levels and all these things.
Okay. Let's talk about sugar real quick.
Okay. Let's do it.
So Chris Bray, that's something I really like.
And we all like it.
And I've been really thinking about, you know, giving it up. well, to a certain extent. But all right, go ahead and tell me how bad sugar is.
Okay, so I wouldn't give it up. Don't give it up totally.
But
there are some things that you could replace. But sugar is terrible. It is.
So give it
terrible.
Up.
Okay, so it's terrible for your brain. Okay. It's terrible for your heart. It's terrible for your kidney, your liver. It causes inflammation, which is known to cause all the cancers. I mean, the list. But here's the thing. I am not one of those, because as you can see, I'm an ice cream connoisseur. Yeah. But what you can do, and here's the very interesting thing, is we're all different.
Yeah.
And this has come out in the last couple of years.
So you
may process sugar much differently than I process sugar. So you can get those blood glucose monitoring. I am a huge fan. A lot of the research around it is very strong. You've seen people that have the glucose monitoring system.
So I should get one.
And I say, get one for a month. Because what it
just
does is
to see what
your
glucose, what is it, glucose level is?
Yeah, what your blood sugar level is. Is it low? Is it high? And I will say it is life changing. And I'm not exaggerating at all.
So like, for example, you could eat a bucket of ice cream. I could eat a bucket of ice cream, and then our glucose levels would be different depending on how our body processes.
So sugar for me, like ice cream for me,
okay,
my glucose, my sugar levels don't spike. But my wife's spike huge. But then I could eat certain types of bread, spikes, hers doesn't.
Oh,
so what you're doing
different foods then.
Is you're seeing for your body, which we're so different, and our brains, I mean, every brain is different of every human who's ever lived. It's different. There's no brain that's the same. Same with your body. Hmm. And so you're learning for you, blood spike, or my blood sugar spiking. I need to, you know, see what did I eat. And so I always say, just kind of eat, you know, if I'm having dinner, I'm going to have pasta.
Got it.
And just see, okay. And then if it does, is it the sauce? Is it the pasta?
Wow.
And you learn really in just a month, because they can be expensive. Now, a lot of doctors will just
prescribe
one. Not that
expensive.
What are
they, $100?
$100.
Okay.
If that, for a couple of them. And they last like 2 or 3 weeks that you can keep them on.
Oh, I thought it was just, it's a thing that you can keep. Oh, it's not a...
It doesn't stay forever.
Really?
You staple it to your skin, and I'll tell you...
But
it doesn't hurt.
Oh, my
God. Like, the needles are, like, that long, and we were freaking out when we first did it.
You stay... like
you don't even feel it.
It actually punctures your skin?
You don't even feel it. I'm telling you...
You take a shower with it, and...
Oh, you can do everything. They give you a little patch to put over it, but on your phone...
I'm not a needle guy.
No.
Oh,
I am telling you, I'm not a needle guy. You won't... In fact, when it happened, I didn't even know what happened. Like, I think those little like shots, vaccines that you get, that you're gonna feel that way more than
stay away from those.
Yeah, me too. So, but what it's good is it's so good to see, and it's on your phone, so you can see, and they'll do a little beep if your blood sugar is too low and you know you need to eat.
Interesting.
So it gives you so much information for very inexpensive, instead of going and getting these really expensive blood tests, and it's costing $500, $600, $700. Instead, spend $100. Your doctor most likely, and I'm saying get the cheapest one. You don't need these fancy, you know, monitoring systems.
Yeah.
Just get the least expensive one you can find.
Okay. Are there some that don't puncture the skin? I thought there's some, even Apple Watches. Oh, they don't check blood sugar.
No, they don't check blood. So you have to, we have to have access to the blood. All so right, you can do it. I'll do it. I will come and just do it to you. We'll do it.
All right.
Katrina will watch.
Leave a comment below if you'd like to see that.
That's a follow-up video.
Yeah, if we don't get 1 million comments, then it's not happening.
I'll get my listeners on that. I'll get my listeners on it.
Oh, shoot. Okay. No, really good. Anything you can, I don't know. I mean, there's more to talk about, Chris, but anything you can tell our, so you know our listeners, our viewers, mm-hmm. three simple things, and this could be a book, right, or whatever, but three simple things that take 5 minutes or less a day.
Okay, love it.
That yep. somebody can actionably do tomorrow, every day.
To improve their game, or improve their life.
Yeah, let's just go health.
Okay,
your brain. I don't know.
Okay, we'll give three. Maybe we'll do four.
Okay,
I'll go through.
We'll do five.
The number one thing that somebody can do is sleep. Did you know that the best performance drug is sleep?
Is it true that some people need more or less sleep than others? Is that true?
It's a lie. Everybody says I can survive on five. And I worked in New York City. I did that rat race for a good long time where we were sleeping for 4 or 5 hours a night.
Yeah.
It is less than probably 1% of the population who cognitively are not affected by getting less sleep.
So for those less than 1%, people might be okay.
But here's what's funny. Everybody thinks.
Yeah,
I always say you're not, unfortunately. You're not one of those people because I can give you a test. I mean, I can have you sleep 4 or 5 hours and your IQ is going to drop 15 points by the second day. Within a week, you're just literally, you can't even barely think. So I encourage most people try to get 7, you know, most likely try to get 8 hours of sleep, because if you want to be a top performer, it is the number one predictor of your performance is how you sleep. And that's why, you know, when some of my friends and every once in a while, when we do work with athletes, then what we're doing is that something we're looking at. How are you sleeping? Let's get you to that tournament early so you can get some good rest. You get acclimated. It's 3 hours ahead. It's a different time zone. So you need to get good sleep. And there's a lot of reasons for that. And let me just give you a couple. Okay. One, you need your REM sleep. You need time for the brain to clean itself out from the previous day.
So REM, the REM, and that's like it's a certain amount of time or something where then you're in deep sleep.
Yep, you're in deep sleep, and a lot of things are occurring during the REM sleep. A lot of the brain structuring is occurring during that time. You know, you're wanting a good amount, so maybe an hour or two, maybe even a little bit more, that you're in that deep REM sleep, and it's continuous. So sleep, if you're depressed, if you have anxiety, if you're stressed out, sleep. And even if you can take a half an hour nap in the afternoon, take a half an hour nap. It's so good for you.
What are the studies on naps?
Oh, well, the problem with naps is most of us who work in corporate can't, you know, you can't take a nap.
Yeah, but like for the people who have 30, 45 minutes, does it help?
Absolutely.
Really?
You never want to go over 20, 30 minutes because then your brain starts to shut down, go to different aspects of sleep. It refreshes. I like the word, it rejuvenates your body and your brain.
So like 20 minutes tops.
Oh, yeah. It just settles the brain. Clears out a little bit, but most people I say sleep 7 to 8 hours. Now people say, how can I sleep better? Especially if you're more mature, 55 plus, you have to have, and I beg for an hour, but most people only give me half an hour of where you're having a wind down time. So you turn off your phone, turn off your iPad, put away your Apple Watch, turn the lights down low, read a book, do not watch Netflix, because you're teaching your brain that habit of I'm winding down, it's ready for sleep. So, you know, I have half an hour thing that I do. So I'm ready for sleep. So that I'd say is the number one. Now, number two, when we talk about practicing, what Anders Ericsson, all the top performance researchers say is you should go hard for 60 to 90 minutes. And then after that 60 to 90 minutes of practice, like super hard, I want to get better. This shot really hard, 60 to 90 minutes. And then you need to take a break. And that break could be an hour. That break could be 2 hours. And this is for people who...
What's the shortest break?
Oh, the shortest break you can take here's the thing. If you do 90 minutes super hard, it's going to be hard to really focus and be deliberate, deliberate practice.
So
even within a half an hour to an hour, you couldn't do it. You're too tired.
Got it. So sometimes, Chris, I drill for 2 hours.
Yeah. Yep.
Is there a time frame like where it gets like over like too much? Is that what you're saying, right? Like it's good to take it in like full focus, go crazy for that time. And if it's too long, if you're doing 2 or 3 hours, and does it actually hurt you in the long run?
I don't think it hurts you, but most likely that hard of a practice where you're so focused, you can't even really do it more than 90 minutes. So in that 2 hours, I bet you have a half an hour to 45 minutes of super hard. And that's when the time flies by because you're so focused. You're like, wait a second, we were dinking or we were drilling or we were going back and forth. And I don't know where the 30, 45 minutes went.
Yeah. So I just, we just had Riley Newman on the podcast. And I don't know, you may have not listened to that, but one of the things that he does is he just goes 2 hours and that's it. And then there's a lot of the other pros that will play like 4, 5, 6 hours. But when I first heard that, I was like, huh, that's so interesting. Why don't you play for more? But I guess he does that like intense training. Then he goes to the gym or then he'll do off court stuff. But,
and it's good. Research has shown that's the best thing you can do. Now, sometimes it's good in the afternoon to maybe do an hour, but if he and Riley's in, we all know he has that focus.
Yeah.
You can just watch and see it.
100%.
He couldn't probably over that 2 hours do any more, maybe an hour in the later afternoon. But when you're doing that, especially at that level and you have those skill sets and those neural pathways and the abilities and capabilities and skills, then it's just a matter of fine tuning them and keeping those neural pathways, because every day those neural pathways are expanding or getting smaller. They don't stay the same.
Yeah.
So you've got to keep them going.
I guess this would be the one question I would have, like someone at that caliber, you know, you're playing a lot, you're going to be playing a lot of matches. When they do gold medal matches, when they have long days, they're playing way more than if they were to practice just that. So how do you, I guess, you know, you're going to have to focus more than 2 hours if you are playing a tournament or something like that. So I don't know. What are your thoughts there?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know if I have a good answer for that, but I think that they are fine tuned to be able to do that. So think of when you go to a tournament, those of us who are just mere mortals and we have an hour and a half break in between games. And it's just like you fall apart. You know, you lose focus. You're sitting around talking and then you have 7 minutes of practice and great. I warm up. It's just terrible. But for them, they're in great shape. They know the shots. They've practiced them every day, you know, hour and a half, 2 hours a day, that they're just able to brain-wise, they know how to do it. Because it's their job. It's what they do.
Yeah.
I mean, they're doing it how many times a month?
Yeah, I got you. I got you. Okay. So you said, let's see, sleep?
Yep, sleep.
You said, what did we just
think? Practice, 90 minutes. So you can practice something intensely for 90 minutes or 15 to 20 minutes every day. That's more logical for people who have to work and do things like that.
And then what would be your, last one or last two?
Okay, I was going to say keeping the body healthy. And I'm going to say body healthy and mind healthy, meaning you're stretching, especially if you're 55 plus. Do not go out and play and don't stretch before and don't stretch after. That's when we see accidents occur. And I'll be honest with you, been active my whole life, have never been a stretcher until pickleball. And now I'm realizing, especially as I start to age, I've got to stay so active to do that.
So dynamic stretches in the beginning, static in the end.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then I'd say the last thing is you have to do something for your brain every day. Now, there's a lot of research on journal writing, gratitude. Now, I'm a big gratitude person, but a lot of people just say, I'm going to think of 5 things I'm grateful for. But the problem is after a week, you think of the same 5 things over and over again. So there's what we call Nikon type of gratitude, where you're asking questions like, what did someone do for me today or yesterday that made a difference in my life? What am I grateful for? Because it changes every day. Like, so tonight or tomorrow, I'll be like, oh, being on with Jordan was good fun. We got information out there. We enjoyed it. You know, we have great friends. So that would be, and then I'd be, what have I done for somebody else to make a difference in their life and have them be grateful for me? So it's constantly changing. And what gratitude does.
Gratitude.
Oh, it changes the brain, because what it does is it sets the neural network and focus towards things like what is good in my life. Because remember, your 70% thoughts that are the same every day most likely are negative threat state type of thinking, whereas gratitude is all the positive things. So we're shifting the mind to look towards what is great about my life versus what is wrong with my life.
Got it. There's one podcaster I listen to. He's actually an entrepreneur. One of the things he does, and I've been wanting to do this in a while, but it's really going to get me thinking to really move forward to this. One of the things he does is he has certain habits in the morning, but he does a 3 gratitude texts and he texts 3 people. It's 3 people every time differently. Just one, you know, it could be a family member, friend. He texts them what he's thankful for. It could be short, it could be long. And then as he goes throughout his day, he's getting responses back.
Right.
So he does that every day. And I just think that that's just a really cool thing. And it just reminded me of that, because he sends it out, then he gets it back. But not solely for him, but right. just because it's a really good exercise. And he also, the connection and different things.
And think about when you get a text that says something like, I appreciate you, or I like you because of this.
Yeah.
Oh, the brain lights up.
Yeah.
And we're so grateful, and the friendship increases. And he's not only changing their life for the day, he's changed their day.
Yes.
It's then most likely they're going to respond back with something like, you know, I had a text yesterday that someone said, how do I be like Chris Bray? I'm trying to think today of how to be more like you. And I was like, I was thinking the same thing. How I want to be more like you. But the thought that someone even thought about me and thought there was something positive enough that, oh, I want to take that attribute and be more like that. Oh, it changed my day. I had the best day.
Yeah. No, that's super cool, man.
No, it was.
Yeah. We got to do another pine top trip here.
Yeah, I'm all about that.
Yeah.
We'll talk to the right people who we know listen to the podcast to make sure that gets
shout out to Matt.
Yes, exactly. Matt. And he's been on the podcast. He did a great job. And
well, not on this one.
Oh, was it?
No. He was on the orchard.
Right. That's
but
right.
You know what? After that, though, after you talking to me about that, I think I'd have Matt on.
Oh, he's hilarious. He's funny. He's so knowledgeable about pickleball.
Yeah.
And it just he's a great guy. So we call him the pickleball mayor.
Yeah.
In Gilbert, Arizona. Actually, pretty much.
Well, he's a manager now.
Yeah.
Team manager
of MLP. So. That's right, for Arizona. So
the Arizona one. Yeah.
But anytime, I'll come back and let's see what the response is. Maybe people be like, the response will be like, that was the most boring
thing. Know. We'll
hopefully they
comment
like it.
Comment below if you're enjoying this. And then again, I'm just going to say, we're going to have Dr. Chris on again sometime. Could be tomorrow.
Back.
It could be next year. I don't know. But comment some questions below that you want me to ask him specifically about either your situation about pickleball. Comment below, because I'll just gather them up and I'll ask them next time. Let's see. Anything, last thoughts, Chris, that you can tell, I don't know, some of the viewers out there that are, I don't know, just as a whole. I don't know. I think we covered a lot of different things. But
we covered the gamut. It gave people enough tools that they have something to do. But as we close out, the thing that I try to have people remember the most is that you can change your life through how you think and how your brain works.
Yeah.
Your perception and what you're thinking about. And so as you change those negative thoughts to positive ones and then take action behind it, creating the right habits, it is life-changing. And pickleball is the perfect example, because people who were never healthy, there was, I'll give you a good story. There was an individual who I started playing with.
Okay.
And within like 6 months of playing pickleball, he wasn't really active before, maybe played a little basketball.
Yeah.
He lost like 45 pounds and he became much happier, more friendly. It was watching this change was amazing. Yeah. I'm sure you see this all the time.
Yeah. I mean, we read an article last episode about someone losing over 100 pounds.
It's amazing. You
know, it's just unbelievable. And then actually in that article, I believe it was a female, she went back to the doctor and the doctor's like, oh my gosh, if I could just bottle this, what did you do? I don't even think she changed her diet really. I think she just played pickleball because she was just having fun. Right. And then like she looked like 6-9 months down the road and it's like, oh, like I lost 100 pounds, you know?
It's amazing. But then you can also lose the weight that you're carrying off your shoulders of, you know, the thoughts that you're thinking. It goes both ways, not just your physical, but also your mental of, a lot of stories of people, I'm not as stressed, I'm happier, you know, I don't have as much depression.
Yeah.
And exercise is one of the best medications. I'm not saying go off your medication, of course, but it's one of the best ways to alleviate stress and depression.
Yeah, really, really cool, Chris. Actually, three more things before we go.
Okay, we just keep going.
Yeah. We're three more things.
Speed up, playback speed now goes to 1.5.
That's right. Go to 1.5 or don't click off now.
This is the good stuff now.
Yeah. This is really interesting, Chris. I want to get your take on this.
Okay.
You may have a huge take or you may have no take.
Okay.
But this, when we talk about several things that happen in our time that totally change everything, this is one. Your thoughts on ChatGPT.
Oh, okay.
And its positive or negative effects on society. So what's really interesting here, if you guys, listeners, this doesn't really have anything to do with pickleball, but it could really affect you. So ChatGPT is a AI that's publicly available, to everyone. If you're living under a rock, that's what it is. You know what I did? I said, hey, ChatGPT, I'm doing a pickleball podcast today. interviewing a brain neuroscience doctor. What are some questions? 5 seconds. 5 seconds. Look, it spit out.
Great questions.
All these great questions.
Great questions.
I mean, if I were to pay somebody to come up with these questions, it would have took an hour, you know? What do you think, man? I mean, in your opinion, like society, there's a lot of things. Like a lot of people like it. A lot of people, man, this is going to change a lot of things.
It's going to.
What do you think? Positive, negative? What do you think, man?
Well, I'll take two different perspectives. So from a PhD academic learning perspective.
Yeah.
I don't like it. And here's why I don't like it.
Well, there's going to be no.
No one's writing papers.
No one's writing papers.
No one's critically thinking.
No.
No one's working. Because think of what it affects. It affects your ability to write because you're not writing that often. It affects your ability to learn, which you're learning and you're reading it, but you're not having to search it out. It affects your ability to be creative because you're just putting it in.
Yeah.
And all those great things that come from actually writing a paper, critically thinking about it. Is this what I want to say? Is this not what I want to say? Because when you put it in chat GPT, it spits it out and it's so good that you can just change a couple little things here and there.
I know.
And you've got, so the learning aspect of creating a smart brain that cognitively works at high performance, it's going to have an effect.
Yeah.
What it turns you into, it turns you into the scroll zombie of Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, where you'll lose hours, you know, just with a lot of good stuff that isn't for your brain. And I'm not against social media in short doses, but in long doses, it's not good for the brain at all.
Yeah.
So in that way, I don't like it.
Okay.
But in a lot of ways, I love that I have more access to information, even more better than Google, than I didn't have before in the detail that is maybe not as... What's the word? It's not as scripted for me as hey, this is just what came up. So the information access is incredible, but there are going to be, there are going to be a lot of things that have to be weighed. I mean, I know a lot of universities are now saying, so, you
it's
know,
crazy.
Like I said, I teach at Harvard, the Brain Health Initiative at Harvard right now. What do we do? A lot of the universities are saying, what do we do with?
Well, they're not going to be able to tell what a real paper is and not.
Because the better it gets. Yeah. The more it's going to be able to add in stories, because if you put in stories, it's going to learn what kind of stories you like and examples.
Dude, it's crazy. Have you messed around with it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know. I just wanted your thoughts on that.
Sure.
Secondly, we got a little... Okay, so...
Oh, look at this. The picture's terrible. Look at this.
Here we go. We got... We'll get in this camera here.
So do you want the story? Do you want...
We'll get the story, but this is Wheaties... you'll see all-time greats. Who was on this? Like in the back end? Tiger Woods. We got
Tiger Woods,
Michael Jordan.
Oh, all the greats.
All the greats.
And Caitlyn Jenner.
Okay. And then now, Dr. Chris Bray. Is that a car? Shout out to Carbon.
Okay. Now listen to this. I know. So
Power series.
So here is what is hilarious about that.
I'm just gonna set it.
I know. Just so we can see. Just stare at that now. Okay, so just in 30 seconds or less, I do work with General Mills, the organization who makes Wheaties.
They own Wheaties, yeah.
Yeah, they own Wheaties. And so some of the work we did, it went over so well that they said, we're going to put your face on a Wheaties box. And so, of course, what did I say? Being a big pickleball fan, I said, have you ever had any individual pickleball person on the Wheaties? Because I know... Yeah. You wish you could be on a Wheaties box like me. I wish I could play like you, but you're not on a Wheaties box.
No, that would be, I would.
It's like a Grammy. It's like a pickleball Grammy.
Yes.
So what happened is they sent it to me. And I think you can, you know, like you tried to toast me by saying, but it's not for sale anywhere, which I actually think it is for sale in the the headquarters in Minnesota at General Mills.
School.
You can probably five of them, which my wife priority bought. And,
and
we don't invite people over for dinner anymore. We just say, come over for breakfast. And just lo and behold, there's Dr. Bray.
It's just in the box.
But here's the thing that General Mills said is General Mills said they have, I am the first person to, pickleball person to ever be on a Wheaties box. So pros, Ben Johns.
So eat that, Ben Johns.
If you want my signature.
Seriously.
So some 4045 guy actually ended up on a Wheaties box.
Wait.
Just me and my rating. Like, can you believe it? I'm not even close to a 5-0 or pro, and I'm on a Wheaties box. So you never know what's going to happen in life, right?
Dude, let's go. Look at this. 4 grams of sugar. We got to take that out.
We
got to
take that. So should I call Carbon and say, hey, you better send me a free paddle for all the advertisement?
Free. I mean, this is, if you make the Wheaties box, hold on. I know the owners, Garrett at Carbon. Okay.
Okay.
If this is on the Wheaties box, this is lifetime supply of paddles. Let me help you.
I agree with that.
That's
because
lifetime, dude.
I've probably already sold how many of those for people Carbon paddles from the regular series to the power series you know how we all do it. So
that's
but funny. if they want to copy Carbon does, I'm happy to send them a just to let them know it's the number one. Now I do wish I was a little younger looking than that. It would be more believable. The old guy who's on the Wheaties box doesn't quite work as well, but
that's cool.
I'll take it.
Well, this is the demographic, right? This is what they're this
hey,
is
it's
what
getting younger
for.
And younger. Look at the pros.
Yeah.
Younger and younger.
No, really cool. So you did some work for General Mills.
I do work with them. They're a client that we do work with, and we did some stuff for them around resilience.
Okay.
And
are you working with employees or the management?
All of the above. So for example, we'll work for everybody. Like we did something recently through COVID for HSBC, went to about 150,000 employees. So everybody.
Okay.
Everybody.
All right. Now, lastly, this is a new little segment here.
Oh, look at this. Oh no. What is this?
I don't know.
Oh, it's I love it.
I don't know. I don't know. We're going to leave a comment below, but this is going to be the Briones pickleball wheel of, top spin, spin wheel.
I like it.
I don't know. I wrote these down. We'll just see how it goes. I have several things here. Why don't you give it a whirl here? A big whirl here.
Okay, here we go. All right. It's like a wheel of fortune. I love it.
Oh, funny story.
Well, you just got one. You just got one with the Wheaties box. That's a good one.
Okay. You want to spin again then?
Okay.
Okay. That was
Should I tell you my favorite player? No, we shouldn't say that.
No. Here we go. All right. Okay. Impersonation.
Oh, you're going to make me impersonate somebody?
Yeah, we're going to go. How much pro pickleball do you watch?
Oh, I watch a lot of pro pickleball. Oh, okay, I've got an impersonation.
Okay, let's do your Dr. Chris Bray. Let's see your professional.
Do you have a paddle? You don't have to have
a paddle.
Yeah,
I got one.
Okay, grab a paddle. And why you're grabbing a paddle, because there are two people who see if you can see if, and it's actually perfect. This is a perfect paddle for this. So everything I'm going to hit will be two-handed from everything.
Everything?
Everything I hit almost is two-handed. Both male and female, both of them.
Not on the forehand side.
Well, a lot of them are forehand.
Are you sure?
Pro? Yes, what pro?
With Selkirk?
The Newmans. That's a terrible impression.
Yeah, that was. You know what? That was a 3-0 impression.
That was a
3-0 really,
impression.
Really good.
It was
Chris.
It was just,
really, no, that really was good. Okay.
I can't do impressions.
But you know what? This was.
Oh, that should have done a boo. Yeah, we should have.
They're not.
No, not anymore.
No,
but they were.
You're right. You're right. They were there. And they don't have a two-handed forehand. Just to let you know.
Sometimes they do. Well, when they're blocking, sometimes these.
That's backhands. All right, we're gonna have to educate.
We'll watch. I'll send you video. How's
okay.
That?
All right.
We'll diagram it like you do. Okay. Like you do with.
Okay. All right. Well, Chris, I think that was really informative there, and I think the viewers are really gonna like this.
We'll cut out that last part with the names. We'll just let that be. It was long enough.
Yeah, yeah. No, well, editor, leave it in there. It was just really, really great TV there. Anything? Do you want to shout out anything? I don't know, your podcast, your what you do.
Oh, sure. So
employees
just,
of the month. I don't know.
I love it. Well, shout out to all the pickleball buddies everywhere. So first of all, that and you can go to the podcast. It's the Dr. CK Bray Show. It's 15 to 20 minutes.
Okay.
I don't interview anyone. It's not as fun as this. It's just me giving information about life and work and performance and the brain and health and longevity and all sorts of good stuff. And you can buy, I've written two books. So one is called Best Job Ever. It's about 6 years old, but it's a good book if you want to work on your career or figure out what to do with your career. And the second
one is that more mindset based or what?
It's like step by step tools to creating the career that you want. Is what it is. So it's a good one.
And the second one.
This is a good. This one I highly recommend.
I got it. It's the How to Raise Remarkable Kids Without Talking to Them.
It is. So
why don't you give me a little of
in under 15 seconds.
Yeah,
so
once
my kids hit high school, because they stopped listening to you, I would write notes to them and put them on their mirror every day. And so after doing four children, I created a book. And so depending on what they were going through in their life, I wrote different things.
Wow.
Could be motivational.
That's
could
cool.
be advice, could be funny stories. We had Fun Friday. Like I interjected all these things where they could earn money or special prizes.
And that's how you got them to talk to you.
And that's how I got them to talk to. And they all turned out, they're all good kids.
Yeah,
so
okay.
I got lucky. So it's well worth it. It's just small. It's a little book you can read in an afternoon and help you with your teenager, for those who have teenagers.
So it's not just that. Are you actually giving tips on with dealing with teenagers?
You get the tips through the post-it notes of exactly what I said, and then you can make it your own. But the great thing about it is, really, it's a January 1st through December 31st. So you could read one post-it note a day. You could use it yourself and do it. I share what they're in the book. I share what they were going through. So
interesting.
Everything from, you know, school events to being honest to, you know,
are they getting a little royalty kind of for their stories?
Absolutely not.
Oh, okay.
Cause I paid all that money for tennis and pickleball. This is right.
There you
That's
go.
Right. So,
okay. And then it says here you had a third book due February 23.
Yeah.
But you didn't. Is it delayed?
Well, it wasn't delayed. I decided to change the publisher on it for a couple of reasons. But another reason was because we have a brain book coming out, like a brain health at work book that's going to be coming out later this year.
Okay.
And we want the focus to be on that for this year.
Yeah.
And then the other one is about just being a leader and being a leader in an organization from a brain perspective, like how to influence people, get people to change, how to coach people.
Yeah.
Because how we mostly do it in corporate and even in life, you know, from coach. People are terrible coaches. Terrible coaches.
Yeah. Well, here's one. I'm a coach, and I understand what you're saying because I run a lot. I run across a lot. But what are some good qualities to you of a good coach? It could be across any. It doesn't really matter what they're coaching, right?
You're ready for this? Yeah. They're truthful. They can hurt people's feelings because people come to you because they want to be better. And what do we oftentimes want to do as a coach or we're trying to influence someone is we make them feel good, which that's a part of it. People need to hear the truth.
Yeah.
To have a friend who will tell you the truth, Katrina has no problem telling you the truth.
Yeah.
But to have someone in your life who can tell you the honest truth is one of the best gifts that you can ever have. So as a coach, to say, I care about you enough that I'm going to tell you this part of your game and your delivery is important.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Yeah. Uh-huh. Like really, like it would be a 2-0. Like it's terrible.
Oh, me too.
I don't want to say stuff like that, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Tell them the truth and then give them the tools to be able to improve it. And you're going to change their life because it comes back to potential. You're helping them unlock their potential. And when you're a coach who unlocks people's potential, it's, as you've seen, you change lives through little small things. It's amazing.
Okay, cool. Well, we'll be,
Didn't think that I was going to give you that answer, did you?
Yeah.
You thought I was going to give you the pat answer.
No, I wasn't sure what to expect there. What would be second in line? So truthful, but obviously, come on, there's got to be other good qualities of a coach.
I would say the nice part of it is, of course, you always want to listen, is to help them change their perspective of themselves. Because when they work with you, let me give you an example. So when they work with you and they're terrible, let's say resetters or something, and you help them, you know, have the experience of being able to reset, it changes their view of themselves. Like, oh, wow, I can do this. He taught me how I can do it. I can do it on my own.
Yeah.
And so we have to give them the tools to be able to really be able to do it. And when you do it, and here's the thing, the interesting thing is what research says is it parlays to other parts of their life. So if I'm successful here, like when we look at really successful people, a lot of them are successful in every aspect of their life because they have the right habits and behaviors and thinking that span across all those areas.
Yeah.
When they don't, which I'm not saying, like Tiger Woods is a good example. When they don't and they're too focused, that can cause huge issues, whatever those issues may be.
Yeah.
But it's teaching people the skills to be able to do it and changing their perception of themselves. Because then they go home and they, if I can do this, then I can do this.
Okay, cool. Well, Dr. Chris Bray.
So fun.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you so much. And like, comment, subscribe. Go check out. What is your podcast called again?
Dr. CK Bray Show.
Dr. CK Bray
Show. Anywhere you find podcasts.
There you go. Go check that out too, and we'll see you in the next episode.